Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick, Vatican Radio. I'm about to bring you an interview with the National Director of the Pontifical Mission Societies in the United States, a position held by the Venerable Fulton Sheen for 16 years. He's Father Andrew Small, who belongs to the Congregation of the Order of Mary Immaculate. Father Small speaks of the Venerable Fulton Sheen, famous for having commanded a TV audience of 30 million in the 1950s, among other things in his capacity as a theologian who took part in the Second Vatican Council, an occasion during which he met and worked with Joseph Ratzinger, the future Benedict XVI, as well as the now blessed John Paul II. The story takes us to mission country, of course, but also, unusually, to the lakeside town of Nemi, where Pope Benedict XVI goes on Monday, July the 9th. Stay tuned. Is it humbling to step into the shoes of someone like Fulton Sheen?
It really is, and I know I can say that. It's humbling to be responsible in the United States for American Catholics' expression of love and concern to over half the world, which is really the mission church. 1,150 dioceses, thousands of schools and hospitals and clinics. And we make our contribution. It's a sizable contribution, but it's a contribution just as valid as my colleagues in Togo and my colleagues in France and my colleagues around the world, 120 of us who are national directors. But what makes it most humbling is to sit with people who met Fulton Sheen and to see the light stir in their eyes or to hear them speak with such love about what he meant for them. It's extremely humbling, and I know, I ain't no Fulton Sheen, but he often spoke about his guardian angel, the one that would wipe the blackboard off camera so that he could write his stories again. And he has become in many ways a bit like my guardian angel, encouraging me and one somebody now that we can pray to and look for strength from because of the church declaration that he was heroically virtuous and venerable and has a special place, we hope, in the heavens and can pour down graces through his intercession upon those who need him. So yes, I suppose it is very humbling.
He was actually a theologian too, wasn't he? He wrote many books, and he wasn't just this larger-than-life character who was on TV.
No, in many ways he built his life as a professor of philosophy at Catholic University. He studied in Louvain in Belgium, became a Fulbright, got a Fulbright scholarship, he was a sort of a summa cum laude doctorate. He was a master in the classroom in Catholic University in Washington, D.C. And that's really, while we say he spoke with simple language, he was a real pedagogue. He gave people oftentimes very, very deep and very, very robust theological concepts about grace and sin and who we are in the eyes of God, and talked about the new anthropology, but he did it in a way that was so accessible to people. He was one of the smartest people, certainly, that have ever had that profile, but he made it look very easy. And he says the secret was just hard work.
Pope Benedict XVI actually worked with him at the Second Vatican Council, I believe. They were in a group together of theologians.
You know, it's funny, I was just reading a story on Vatican Radio there about the Holy Father's current summer plans, and you'd said he was going to Nemi, where the SVDs have a mission center. And it was there that the document on the missions at Gentes, one of the famous drafts, were written there, and the Holy Father obviously was going back because he was a peritus at the council. He was an expert, and the young Father Ratzinger would have been there less than 50 years ago writing that document. Who was he writing it with? Who was one of the bishops? Fulton Sheen. He was a bishop at the council, worked with the Holy Father. And they say that the Holy Father remembers him fondly and might be more than little interested in this cause for canonization, which we're happy to promote.
So when he signed the decree recently in June, he was recognizing the heroic virtue of someone he'd personally met.
Isn't that something? Now, that's not too strange these days. We have Mother Teresa and the blessed Pope John Paul II, etc. But he worked Fulton Sheen shoulder to shoulder. It must be a funny feeling. I never met him myself. so many people did and still love him so much.
Well, he died in 79, I believe, 1979.
Correct, shortly after meeting Pope John Paul II in New York, that famous embrace on the altar of St. Patrick's, where he said, you have been a loyal son of the church. And Sheehan broke down crying. It was a lovely embrace between the two of them, because Sheehan had known suffering in his life. He'd known rejection, he'd known pain, he'd known exile to some extent when he left New York and went to Rochester. That didn't seem to work out too well, but he recognized that was not where he was meant to be. So he would often speak about those crosses that he carried, and he would offer them to the faithful for their own spiritual nourishment.
When you read about Fulton Sheen, John Paul II does come to mind, doesn't he, in a sense?
He does, and we had a clear voice, somebody who knew the medium. Somebody was, in a certain sense, a friend of the media. The media loved him, even when he would say things that people found hard to hear. But there was this overriding sense that he was on your side. He was not a scold, even though at times he was quite harsh in those weekly programs. But I think if people know that the one speaking to them is looking for their good, wants the best for them, they're prepared to hear hard messages.
He was a friend of the famous, but he showed concern for the poor. This is where you come in. The position you're holding now is a position of mission, a mission for people who are not worldly and famous. Is that correct? Yes.
He was appointed in 1950, Monsignor Sheehan, and shortly thereafter became a bishop. He said it was the great passion of his life. He gave all the money from his TV programs and his 60, 70 books and articles and appearances, all to the missions. He traveled the missions extensively. He would do massive ordinations of priests across Africa, famously sleeping on the floor, lifting up the poor and the lowly. I think, frankly, it was that sense of connectivity that he experienced during his mission journeys. 16 years he had my job, or I have his job now. I think that's really what gave him the energy to speak so eloquently to people who he did see with privilege. He was a great undulator. He could go from the high to the low. And as Dom Elder Camara once said, he didn't change his message depending on who he was talking to. It was the same message. And he had that great universal appeal.
Camara was part of the council too, no?
Yes. Yes, he was. He's part of what they call the Church of the Poor. He would have influenced that. They were part of that voice that, in many ways, the East and the West were united at the time, the rise of the bomb, of course. But the secret story, the one that's not often told too well, is the encounter between the North and the South.
He was very forward-thinking, no?
It was, and it was forward-thinking for the Church, I guess, for all these particularly Southern bishops to come forward and to say, this is what we're living, this is what we're suffering. It was Sheehan who spoke eloquently about the missions. Others spoke about the poor just as eloquently. But the need for the Church to have that presence around the world was very close to Sheehan's heart. And, of course, he was close to the Holy Father and to many people at the Council. He spent a lot of time in Rome.
Anticipated the media days, no? Would you say that?
He was, they say, ahead of his time, but then he was the height of his game. So he saw it all coming. He took some tentative steps. They didn't work out too well at the beginning, as most new initiatives do not. But he was not discouraged. His radio career burst forth into a TV career. And at one point he had over 30 million viewers. He won an Emmy for beating a famous American, Milton Berle, back in the early 1950s. He really was a star, but boy, did he work hard at it. They asked him what his secret was. He said hard work.
I think there was talent there as well. No, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, no doubt. He was always trying to play down who was behind the impact of his work. You know, they asked him who his writers were. And he famously said, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They asked him once how many converts he'd been responsible for. He says, well, I'm not responsible for any converts. I'm just a channel of God's grace.
And our thanks there go to the National Director of the Pontifical Mission Societies in the United States, Father Andrew Small of the Congregation of the Order of Mary Immaculate. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.